Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Coming to you Monday morning. I've had a couple days to digest the Warriors' recent three-game losing streak. I think I need a Pepto-Bismol. It has not gone well. It's kind of just sitting, reflecting, thinking a little bit more about just, you know, the flaws that keep rearing their head, things that seem to be issues with the roster construction. Obviously, the team, just the players that we do have on this roster for the time being, I mean, you know, it's a lot of poor play, and everyone, probably except for Steph and Jimmy, have some sort of accountability for a lot of the mistakes that are being made. And, you know, we know that players are capable of being better, but not capable of doing so consistently. The depth has really just reared its ugly head, and something that you'd hoped would be an improvement with the additions of Horford and I guess soon to be Melton. And you hope that that would plug a lot of the holes that this team had with positional size and spacing. And it seemed on paper to be a fit, and a lot more lineups unlocked. And we've been excited about it early in the season after some big wins. But the truth of the matter is that it's just not consistent enough performance from all the supplementary players, including some from the big three. But I'm going to give them a pass because they've actually been very good. I think I read like Steph, Jimmy, Dre on the court together have like the second best net rating out of all core threes in the league when they're on the court together. So they've been great. Obviously, Dre leaves a bit to be desired on the offensive side of the ball. But outside of that, those three have been about as good as you could hope for and more or less healthy. Everybody else, excluding Will Richard, who's just been a revelation and needs to play more. Everyone else, man, I waffle back and forth between just wanting them benched or sat or cut or whatnot, because there are just so many issues, so many limitations. Almost every player on the Warriors bench has a glaring flaw. They pretty much all offer like one redeeming skill set, whether they're a shooter, a point of attack defender, you know, just kind of a hustle guy. Problem is that the rewards are not outweighing the flaws and the mistakes. Even guys like GP2, who are supposed to be a stopgap in terms of a POA perimeter defensive player, doesn't do that at an elite level anymore, and then still continues to miss three-point shots, make bad decisions on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, he's showed glimpses of good games here or there, but those are just few and far between. And then the opposite player, Buddy Hield, who's supposed to be a shooter, a spacer, just not knocking down shots, and then everything else that makes him Buddy Hield has just been atrocious. And as much as we love Buddy to an extent, and you know, he's earned a spot as a back end bench player and can get hot and, you know, win a game seven for you in the playoffs as a Warrior last year, he needs to sit for a while unless you play him spot minutes and he just has it going and just starts knocking down shots. You can give him a little bit more leash. It's just, you can't just be a spacer shooter and be turning the ball over 2-3 times a game just atrociously, and then just making all the other mistakes off ball on both sides of the court that you do. But he needs to sit. Moses Moody, I mean, you've been great as a shooter and great at times as a disruptor, but man, what was that just against the Blazers? I mean, just nobody, especially Moody, could stay in front of the ball, can stay in front of Avdija, who, I mean, you do what you can, but you just get into that right hand no matter what you're trying to wall him off and force him left. And it's not just Moody on Adija, but it just shows you that it's not going to be enough of a point of attack defender with Moody consistently, especially when you're talking about the top perimeter players on the other side of the court. It's just, there's just too many holes, right? That's, we talked about this, the perimeter defense. That's the biggest glaring flaw right now. And I know the defense can and is good, but that is by far the Achilles heel of the defense, is just the speed around the perimeter, the speed to stay in front of the ball. And when you're playing undersized, you need to, the redeeming quality is that you're quick, you're athletic, you play with force, and you are a good perimeter defending team. Not the case. And even though Draymond Green and even Al Horford and Jimmy Butler are there to kind of clean up the back end, you see that it's just one more pass to a lob dunk, and you don't have the positional size out of your guards, your wings, who are the second in rotation to, yeah, you could be there, and it's just a lob pass, and what's Steph or Pajemski or whoever is rotating onto that baseline going to do when Klingon's just going up and catching a lob. So it's just overall positional size is the other big thing on both sides of the court with the rebounding, and we rebound well for our size, but it takes a toll on everybody, and it just hasn't been there this year, although I know it has been in past years. And then you're just hoping that that front court stays healthy. And right now, it isn't. It's Horford out for a few games with sciatica. It's Kuminga, who we're going to talk about, just like always in a bit, still out with bilateral knee tendonitis. And then Draymond, I guess, sprained his midfoot, which they're getting an MRI on, and he's questionable. So hopefully he's not missing too much time. But that's not a good lingering issue to have with that foot because it just doesn't get better without much rest. And yeah, who knows? If you're missing two out of those three guys or all three of them, I mean, God, I'm worried about playing Utah tonight. You know, they have 2 7-footers, and all you have potentially is Post and TJD to battle down there. It's a huge problem. The problems are easy to identify, and it sucks when Steph Curry is going ballistic. He's on fire. He's averaging like close to 30 points per game, and you're still losing these games. That is the problem. What can be done? Actually, well, before what can be done, let's just go over to Jonathan Kuminga, because that's the secondary problem is, you know, your X factor, your obviously your biggest trade piece, whatever you want to refer to Kuminga as, whether you want to keep him, trade him, so on and so forth. The bilateral knee tendonitis issue and the comments that it seems that Steve Kerr gave over the weekend is kind of like a hands up in the air. Like, I don't know. It sounds like he's not moving well, but you're gonna have to ask him. I don't really know. It's just kind of like a lack of just, hey, like of assurance that, you know, he's talking to Kuminga and things will be okay and he's turning a corner. So either they're very frustrated with this injury that it's not getting better. Tendonitis, you know, I have bad knee tendonitis and I can relate. You know, it takes weeks, not if not months, to kind of get rid of it. But I'm not a 24-year-old peak elite athlete in his prime. I'm just a 40-year-old guy with 3 knee surgeries in the past. I can understand that it might take longer to just get feeling right and moving better, but I would think Kuminga, who was questionable at one point, ended up playing and then must have aggravated a bit, and maybe it's a knee sprain, maybe it's something worse. I can understand that, but the optics of it make me a little bit suspicious. Leaves mid-game against the Spurs, I think it was the first game. Doesn't even come back to the bench for the second half. And this was after essentially kind of being pulled out of the rotation in that first half and not playing very well. Maybe I'm looking too much into it, but if there was anything more to it, him just kind of like not being there that second half, like was there some sort of a conversation, some tension, whatever it was? And then now it's kind of leaked into multiple games. It doesn't seem like he's anywhere close to even having a timeline or getting better. Who knows? By the time this comes out, maybe there will be a report that he's going to be back in a couple games at best. It's getting concerning. Is there more to it than just the physical ailment? Is there the whole, hey, he got off to a good start. We see this starting to go south. He's not quite 100%, so we don't want to put him out there and diminish his trade value with the deadline being in about a month and a half, 7 weeks or so. Do you just kind of bottle him up, put him on the shelf for another couple of weeks, make sure he's fresh, and then you just kind of just market him and feature him and try to build his trade value heading into January 15th? I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of both, but it's just getting a little bit worrisome because you sure do need Kuminga right now. There is such a lack of shot creation, scoring, playmaking. athleticism. I mean, say what you want about his defense off the ball, but you do need another athletic on-ball defender. It would have been nice to have put Kuminga on Abdia last night, or on whenever that was, Friday night. Give you a different look, just something. So my point is that we need Kuminga to really understand what this team is and can be. And then you also need Kuminga for if you find out that this team is just a middling team like it appears to be, and it's not going to be a true contender without some bigger move. Option A, hey, Kuminga turns the corner like he looked in the first five, six games, and you have a competitive team with him playing the right way and breaking out. Starting to look like that's not a feasible option going forward. So plan B is you're shopping him and you're trying to find somebody who helps you more in the now, which leads me to the topic of next discussion is the Sacramento Kings. It's been reported. I forget who was reporting it, but hey, the Kings are open for business. Anyone but Keegan Murray and Clifford. Which means Domantas Sabonis, who's out for another 3 or 4 weeks with a knee meniscus injury, not great, is available. It means Keon Ellis is available. Does that fix the Warriors' issues enough? Does it make them better? Does it make them contenders? Not really, but it might make them a little bit better if you're throwing if. Hypothetically, the Kings are the only team that want to come to the table with the Warriors. We know they're interested in Kuminga, so let's just at least start there before other options and hopefully better options open up. There's rumors like, obviously Trey Murphy still, Michael Porter Jr. is a name circulating. There are players that might help the Warriors in the front court and give you a little bit more spacing, shooting, playmaking, defense, then like a Sabonis type player and a Keon Ellis package. But let's just kind of look at what that would look like. It would be Kuminga, and then you obviously attach Buddy Hield for that salary. So now you're at like 35 million. Sabonis makes in the 40s. I think you got to get up to like high 40s with Sabonis and Keon Ellis. I got to check that. So I think you'd probably also have to put in Moses Moody's $12 million. And that's also the some of the value that you're getting if you're going to be able to get like a Keon Ellis back. So we're talking, those three, Kuminga, Moody, Buddy Hield for Sabonis and Keon Ellis. Man, that's tough. I mean, what you're, it's the same thing. You're kind of fixing some issues with, you're getting a little bit more size, you're getting some rebounding, you're getting that big finally. You're losing a bunch of shooting, you're losing a bunch of athleticism, you're losing a bunch of young upside scoring, obviously. Keon Ellis gives you, he fixes some of that perimeter defense. He's a great perimeter defender. Might even be better than Melton at this young age. Can hit the open three. I think he's shooting at 40% from three, but he's not playing a ton of minutes, for a reason. He's only scoring 6.6 points per game. He got a DNP last game. I don't know what the Kings are doing over there, but he is kind of just probably someone you're just using in that GP2 role, to be honest, and just eating maybe 15, 20 minutes, including like spot defensive moments. Similar issue in that he's another 6'4" player, bigger wingspan, plays much bigger than his size, and it is definitely a disruptor on defense. But is it really enough to be in closing lineups? Is he enough of a two-way player? Is he just kind of like a better version of Will Richard? Is he the kind of a worse version of De'Anthony Melton? I don't know. It just kind of crowds out that backcourt a little bit more. But if you're giving away Moody and Hield, there's some extra minutes to play at that two combo guard spot. Maybe even at that. I don't want him at the three, but we know Steve likes to go some 3G or 4G lineups. And Keon Ellis could take on some of those minutes. But really, the trade here would be for Sabonis. Great playmaker, would fit the offense well. Despite the spacing, I don't know if the Draymond Jimmy Sabonis front court works, but it might work better than the Kuminga triumvirate of those three in the front court. Just because Sabonis gives you size, he can knock down an open shot, but not going to give you spacing. He can pass, he can screen. I can see him working very well in that action with Steph, that action with Jimmy. really hurts you on the defensive side of the ball, although he just gives you some size. He's probably like a slightly better version of Post as a 7-footer who can just kind of be big, not going to block shots, but can just, pose enough resistance where you're just not immediately just giving up a ton of size. Doesn't move his feet well. You would probably have to tender him to a lot of Draymond minutes, just for defensive purposes. He helps. He would be an upgrade, I think, on this lineup than Kuminga would be. And he helps, but at that contract moving forward, at just the offensive potential spacing issues and then the defensive liability, it's not going to put the Warriors over the top. And if this is the only offer and the best offer that the Warriors can get for Kuminga, I mean, you probably have to pull the trigger if you're just stuck in the mud as is, just to shake it up and try something new and just to put everyone at ease to say, hey, we're finally not too small. Was that really truly the issue? Probably not, but it definitely helps to have some size. So we'll put a pin in it there. My gut would be, hey, if you have to do it just to do something, that's a trade that will potentially be on the table, but let's explore many other options because there are other holes to fill. But you fill two holes separately with some size with Sabonis and a perimeter defender in Keon Ellis. But again, a lot of things to work out because the Warriors don't look anything close to a team that is even just one move like this away. All right, there we go. There's your kind of a glib outlook on where the Warriors stand after about 20 games. Need to be better. At least it looks like Steph still has the juice. Jimmy still has the juice. Draymond, for now, while he's healthy, has the juice. You have a great core with those three. Can you put together the supplemental pieces and other trades to bring in a couple more players? And including when Milton hopefully returns in a few weeks, does that help plug one of those holes as well? Hopefully they take care of business against the Jazz tonight. I'm a little bit worried about that, but with 2 days rest and hopefully just enough resolve to take care of business, get this one out of the way, and then you get a little rest before you get the Durant-less Houston Rockets coming for revenge on Wednesday, and we will be fighting for every inch of size we can get in that one. All right, give me a like, give me a subscribe if you can. Appreciate you guys. I will talk to you guys later this week. Have a great week. Until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.